So the Bible does not teach karma in the Hindu sense whatsoever. This would be a wrong notion. And of course, it leaves out grace. It leaves out the whole aspect of grace, because karma means works. You are rewarded strictly by your works. You get what you deserve. Now, I think you know tonight as a Christian that you would never pray, Lord, give me what I deserve. Lord, reward me according to my karma. Reward me according to my works or according to my deeds. If we did that, we'd all be in hell. Do you realize that tonight? That if you ask God for what you deserve, you'd be lost. What does the Christian pray? The Christian says, I am what I am by the grace of God.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. We're glad to be on the air week by week, day by day, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m. And today again, we're coming to the subject of Hinduism. Yesterday, you had part one of our message aired, and today we return, and we're going to be looking at reincarnation, this whole idea that man returns after his life here on earth, that we may return as some other form, that we may return in a higher level or a lower level, and that there is this continual recycle according to our karma. Now, karma means the acts of our thoughts, deeds, our works. And if we do good things, then our karma is good, and we may improve in the next life. But if our karma is bad, then we descend to some lower form. This is really a very foreign doctrine to the Bible, the gospel. And the Bible teaches us that salvation is grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, and that we go to heaven not because of what we deserve or what we perform, but on the basis of mercy. And that's what the gospel is. That's what Calvary is. So we want to apply Calvary to this whole doctrine of Hinduism. Stay tuned with us then, and we'll turn now to our message from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale on Hinduism.
And you can see that this doctrine of reincarnation, man is trapped into a repeated, endless cycle of rebirths. And in Hinduism, it's called samsara. All creatures are in the struggle to ascend the ladder of rebirths through the lower forms of life up to human life, through the lower caste to the highest caste of the Brahmins, finally achieving, after thousands of reincarnations, release, and in Hinduism called moksha, or liberation. That is a summary of the whole thinking behind reincarnation. And that permeates the culture and the religion of Hinduism. To Hindus, life is a continuous cycle, revolving and revolving and going out and returning. Whereas Christianity is not a cycle. Christianity is a straight line. You are born once, you die once. You have one soul, and where your soul is destined, that is fixed for all eternity. We take that from passages like Luke 16, where you have the rich man and Lazarus who died, and the rich man lifted up his eyes in torments, and he was told that there was a great gulf fixed, so there was no passing the one to the other. We know the dying thief, that when the Lord gave him the promise of eternal life, he says, today thou shalt be with me, where? In paradise, the final eternal state for that dying thief. Also, Paul said that it was to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so for the Christian, there is no recycling. There's no returning. There is no next life here on earth. There is life, death, heaven or hell. It's a straight line. And it is the key text for this would be, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And this really is the hope of the Christian. There's a way out. And if you will receive Christ as your Savior, if you will be born again, now not in this rebirth of reincarnation, but if you will invite the Lord into your heart, into your life, to be your Savior, you will be born again. You will go straight to heaven when you die. If not, of course, your soul will go straight into a lost, Christless eternity. I also think of what Paul taught concerning those Christians who were bereaved. And they were lamenting that those who had died in the Lord had not yet returned. And Paul said to them, not to sorrow as those who have no hope. You see, the Christian has the great hope of the resurrection day. And Paul went on to talk about the resurrection day, how Christ will return, the trumpet will sound, the Lord will descend, the graves will open, those that are dead in Christ will rise first, we who are alive and remain on the earth will join the Lord in the air, and what's the conclusion? So shall we ever be with the Lord. There's no reincarnation, there's no recycle, there's a straight line. And it's a way out. It's the hope of the Christian. And so when we bury our loved ones who are saved and who know the Lord, we don't sorrow as others who have no hope. I can't imagine what the funeral of a Hindu would be like. I know there's a lot of celebrating and a lot of traditions, and they even present food to their ancestors. And this is another issue. They believe in ancestor worship, because their loved ones may be reincarnated to, you know, the divine life is in them. And so this is totally anti-Christian, totally against what the Word of God teaches us, and it's a trap, a bondage for the Hindu. Aren't you glad tonight that you're going to go through this world once, that you're going to die once, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ once? And it's heaven for the Christian, glory, eternal life. Jesus gives to his people eternal life, not a recycling program. And this is the wonder of our gospel. The other is karma. I've referred to that, but I just want to explain or try to define what it is. Basically, karma are the consequences of past actions. There is an account kept. There is a data bank of all your thoughts. This is according to karma now. This is what Hinduism teaches, that everybody's thoughts, everybody's actions, they sort of build up an energy. And it's like negative and positive forces. And if you do good things, if you do good actions, then it will bring good consequences. Whereas if you do bad, then you may have tragic events in your life. And of course, it's always interpreted when a tragedy happens, when trouble comes, it's bad karma. It's bad karma. And so there is a living in this fear. We might call it superstition. We might call it, you know, we don't want to engage in something because it'll bring bad luck. Many people talk in their superstitious manner in that way. Now, karma is so radically different from what the Bible teaches and what the gospel brings to us. You may ask, well, does the Bible not say that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap? Yes, but when do we do the reaping? The Bible teaches that you're going to reap what you sow on the judgment day. You do not necessarily reap what you sow in this world. David the psalmist said that he saw the wicked spread himself like a green bay tree, prospering in wickedness. Now, I don't think you have to think too hard to find somebody who's prospering in this world in wickedness. They lie, they deceive, and yet they seem to get ahead. That's the world in which we live. It's the world of the curse, where the wicked man seems to prosper, and where in this world the righteous seems to have it difficult. This is the world of the curse, the world where righteousness is not very often favored. But you see, the Christian is living for the judgment day. And the things that we suffer now, the things that we endure, the hardships we go through for the gospel's sake, we will reap those rewards when? Not necessarily in this life, but on the judgment day when the rewards are given out, when the crown is given out. And the wicked man, who seems to have prospered through his evil ways in this world, he will reap his judgment on that day. And so the Bible does not teach karma in the Hindu sense whatsoever. This would be a wrong notion. And of course, it leaves out grace. It leaves out the whole aspect of grace, because karma means works. You are rewarded strictly by your works. You get what you deserve. Now, I think you know tonight as a Christian that you would never pray, Lord, give me what I deserve. Lord, reward me according to my karma. Reward me according to my works or according to my deeds. If we did that, we'd all be in hell. Do you realize that tonight? That if you ask God for what you deserve, you'd be lost. What does the Christian pray? The Christian says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And it's the Lord's mercy. It's the Lord's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That is the very power of blessing in my life. And the mercy I enjoy, the good things I enjoy, the benefits that I enjoy, they're all of grace. They're God's grace. Now, if you're not saved tonight, if you're not a Christian tonight, you're not saved by your works. You're not saved by good deeds piling up one upon the other, because in the Bible it says there's no such thing as good deeds. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There is none good, no, not one. All our even religious efforts are tainted, stained, spotted by sin. And so it takes pure grace to bring a sinner into a right relationship with God. And we are justified by faith. You see, in Hinduism, in this karma religion, there is no understanding of justification, no understanding of Christ's work at the cross, no understanding of a substitutionary sacrifice that pays it all. They don't understand what we sang tonight. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. They are in his trap of karma, and they will reap in their next life the consequences of the present life. It's a continuous trap. Oh, what a wonderful thing is God's grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so we reject reincarnation, we reject karma, and we rejoice in the gospel. One other thing I want to leave with you tonight, and this is the matter of avatars. Avatars comes from the, well, I'm going to call them, to make it simple, helpers of Vishnu. I believe there are 9 of them in the Vishnu creed, and these avatars are sent to be helpers or deliverers. And when people worship the god Vishnu by whatever means or whatever way, then they may be sent an avatar to be their helper. I don't fully understand avatars, but I do know this. I do know this. There is only one Savior. There is only one Redeemer. Who is he? He's the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, whom the Father sent into the world. You see, the devil is at work blinding the nations, filling people's minds with avatars of dubious, spurious, false background, when we should be getting our eyes on the one Savior, the one Redeemer, the only Redeemer of God's elect, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to remember tonight that the nations of the world are being blinded. Paul said that if this gospel is not preached unto them, that they are lost, totally lost. And the message that we need to take to Hindus, to India, is of course the message of Christ, the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. Now, I don't think that we could be complete in our introduction to Hinduism without thinking of one of the main figures, and his name is Mahatma Gandhi. He was something of a religionist, but also come politician. And through his powers of pressure and leadership, he sought to revolutionize a number of things, but certainly not in a biblical way. And I want to give you a little quote from Mahatma Gandhi. He acknowledged the inability of his religion to atone from sin. Now, you can understand that he was a wise, certainly wise in Hinduism, and he met Christians. He faced the other religions of the world, and this is his conclusion, that his religion, Hinduism, provides no atonement. Here's his words. "It is a constant torture to me that I am still so far from him whom I know to be my very life and being. I know it is my own wretchedness and wickedness that keeps me from him." Now, what is a Christian missionary? A Christian missionary is an ambassador of Christ who goes out with the message of reconciliation. And the good news of the gospel is that God found a way to reconcile the God of heaven with wretched sinners. And while in one way we take encouragement that he recognized his wretchedness, but I do not believe he closed with Christ and was reconciled to God. And so the urgent need of every Hindu is really to hear the story of the cross, the story of the Savior. Now, you do not need to spend months and years studying Hinduism to be a witness to Hindus, because you just need to start where we all started, at the cross, through the Word of God. William Carey's first convert was his translator. He had a native translator who helped him to translate the English Bible into Sanskrit, into the language of Hindi. And he was the first convert. And because that man came into contact with the scriptures on a daily basis, and because he was in contact with a living Christian, living for Jesus, that translator was marvelously saved, and the first of many, many converts. You can read the story of William Carey and those who were with him, and even his 15-year-old son, Felix, who went out preaching the gospel to Hindus, telling them the old, old story over and over again. Now, we in our nation, we think we need something new, something different. Let me tell you, to a Hindu, this is new. The gospel is the most up-to-date, radical, good news that a Hindu will ever hear. And we can be witnesses to them. We can be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus to them. So I hope tonight that this little introduction, and that's really all it is, a little introduction into this whole world of Hinduism, a nation, a billion people, locked in a trap, and the only way out is the cross. Now, we know that tonight. That should be reflected in our praying. It should be reflected in our giving, especially to support those missionaries who have gone forth. It should be reflected in our daily witness, whether you're on the SkyTrain, the bus, in your neighborhood. Here's a challenge for you. What about inviting a Hindu family over for supper? You say, but I could never cook their kind of food. Don't even try. Just tell them, you may not like it. We'll just cook normal food and we invite you over. Now, don't cook meat. That would not work. And most Hindus will not eat animal meat. Do a vegetarian dish. Do your soup dish. Do your desserts and all that, but leave out the meat. And seek, maybe even give them a Bible. Or tell them what Christ has done for you. It'll thrill your heart. You can be a missionary. You can be a witness. But it does involve, and you remember what Kuldeep Gangar, who was teaching us about Sikhism, what he told us? You have to make a friendship. This is going to be friendship evangelism, where you really go out to show your interest and your friendship, and then the opportunity to give the gospel comes. May the Lord help us. May the Lord use us. I haven't spoken about Hinduism tonight to try and broaden your mind and understanding of world religions. I want you to be a better Christian. I want you to be a Christian with a burden, with a zeal, with a purpose to pray, a purpose to witness. And as we live in a multi-faith nation today, that we might welcome Hindus. They may come with their saris. They may come with their cultural dress. They may come with their ways. But we're going to invite them and welcome them to hear the gospel. We're not going to give them the pulpit until they're converted, certainly. We're not going to come and say, you tell us about your religion. We want to preach the gospel to them. And so let us have that missionary mind. You wonder what got into William Carey, that cobbler, the shoemaker in England, when he was just a boy, 20 years old perhaps, even earlier. He had this vision to be a missionary. And he knocked the doors of the mission organizations and they were unwilling to send him. Some thought that they were about cannibals. They were unworthy of the gospel. I hope tonight that we've come a long way from that, and that the leadership, the success, the blessing of God upon Carey and many missionaries will inspire us to take the gospel to them.
Thank you for joining us on the program here today as we have looked at the subject of Hinduism. Now, as a Christian, of course, we want to spread the message of our Lord Jesus. And those who do not know the way of God's salvation by grace, by faith, by mercy, we have a great burden to take the love of Christ to your soul, wherever you are. And this, of course, has to be the burden of the missionary as he goes into parts of the world where the wonderful message of the cross, of Calvary, is unknown. And I believe that today, more than ever, Christians need to be equipped that they may stand for God and be witnesses for the Lord Jesus and truly share the wonderful message of the gospel with those who have no such hope. There is such a world of difference between the religions of the world and the religion of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. The religions of the world are all about works, about man's performance, man's efforts. The religion of the cross is what Christ did for us on that throne. Now, I have here a little book called World Religions Made Easy, an easy to understand pocket reference guide. And it has a section on Hinduism. And it says that Hinduism has no founder. Hinduism began in India about 3,500 to 4,000 years ago. And that there are over 800 million Hindus in the world today. Most live in the southern Asia, especially India, Nepal, and Bangladesh. They have one god or many gods. There are 33 main deities, according to the Veda. The Hindu pantheon has been explained in this way. Truth is one, wise men call it by different names. And there are other facts and figures explaining terms and the beliefs of Hinduism that will be very helpful to the Christian as we seek to be a living witness for the Lord Jesus. In the time allowed in the subject that I handled, I could only cover certain things. But I trust that today that you will take an interest to be informed and equipped, that you might take the gospel to neighbors, friends, or to pray much for the souls of those who are in the religion of Hinduism. This is a great mission field. And praise God, the gospel has already made inroads through the work of missionaries, through the work of native peoples hearing the gospel, rejoicing in it, turning away from their idols, and receiving the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, the Bible is very clear that salvation is full and free to all who believe. There is no limitation to people, to race, to color. Indeed, there is but one race in this world. We are all sons of Adam and Eve, and we are all of one blood, and we need the same Savior. And that, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God sent from heaven to be the Redeemer of his people. On the cross, the Lord Jesus offered a sufficient sacrifice, infinite in its worth, for his blood is able to cleanse the sins of all men who will ever come to him. And if you come, you will be saved. Now, this message of the gospel needs to be shared and preached to the peoples of the world. And I trust that you will take to heart those that need the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Now, if I can be of any personal help to any that are seeking the way of salvation, I could send you this little booklet, World Religions Made Easy, an easy-to-understand pocket reference guide. And, of course, we have other items of literature that will help you to share the gospel, to spread the good news that Jesus saves. Or if you are personally seeking the way of salvation, give me a call. I'll be delighted to help you all I can, and we could pray together, open the Bible together, and of course, we would love to show you the way of personal salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for sharing your time with us today. Coming up now are all the announcements, and I trust you'll take down these details and be in touch with us here at Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Ian Gollaher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. If I can be of any personal help, I'd be delighted to hear from you, either by phone or by email. You can call me at 604-576-1091 or email me through the website. And the website, I hope, will be a blessing to you. You will find Q&A articles. You will find other gospel literature if you want to know the way of salvation. And all the events and details of life at our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. For those who wish to join our services, but perhaps not in the area, you can join us by webcast on Sundays at 10:30 and 6 p.m. You can go to our website, cloverdalefpc.ca, and on the homepage you will see the live button. It turns a bright red as soon as our services come on, at about 10:25, just before the morning service, and at 5:55, just before the 6 p.m. service. And you can join us, worship with us, and I trust that God will bless you. For our listeners in Victoria, we want to invite you along to our Victoria Free Presbyterian Church. Services are at 11 and 6. The address is 733 Van Alman Avenue. And you can go to either our website or Victoria Free Presbyterian Church website. So may the Lord bless you richly. Thank you for being a part of the program today, and we look forward to hearing from you. That's one of our great encouragements, just to know that you're listening in to our daily broadcast as we let the Bible speak.